You're listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hello and welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast for Friday, January 4th. I'm Chris Manning, your host and the site manager over at FearTheSword.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers site. Today's show is a Draft Friday show, so that means Trevor Magnotti, the great draft writer who you can find on Twitter at Illegal Screens, and you can read at FearTheSword and at The Step Back, is joining me to talk about some prospects. This week, we're looking a little farther down the draft board. So we're going to look at DeAndre Hunter from Virginia and Keldon Johnson from Kentucky. Now, you can also, in the show notes, find the latest Trevor big board that he wrote over at the Step Back. You'll find some changes in there from maybe some of the guys we've been talking about as the consensus top three prospects on this podcast. You also may have seen that Bol Bol, the Oregon center, is hurt. He's not going to play again for Oregon. And I asked Trevor about this, and we recorded this before that injury news came out. But according to Trevor, he's still going to likely go in the top five. This is a chronic injury for Bol Bol, and Oregon's kind of a mess. So it is concerning that he's a 7-2 player and that he's having foot injuries. But according to Trevor, who knows this stuff as well as anyone that I know, this shouldn't hurt Bol Bol too much. So don't be surprised if he's still in the conversation of where the Cavs are going to be picking. If you want to support the podcast, you can find the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Megaphone, if you aren't already. You can find the show on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Cavs. You can find me on Facebook and Twitter at CWM Writes. We'll have a recap up of tonight's Cavs-Jazz game tomorrow morning in this feed. I'll be on site, so insights, interviews, everything from the game. The Cavs playing at 7, first half of a back-to-back, 7:30, excuse me, and they entered to that game a half a game ahead of the Phoenix Suns for the worst record in the NBA. So, winners of one of their last 10 going up against a good Jazz team. I don't expect them to win, but maybe they will be more surprising than they were against the Heat the other night. So, today's show, Keldon Johnson, DeAndre Hunter with Trevor Magnotti from Fear the Sword. Without further ado, let's get into it. And joining me for this week's Draft Friday is the always excellent Trevor Magnotti. You can find him on Twitter at Illegal Screens. You can read his writing at places such as The Step Back and Fear the Sword. Trevor, happy holidays. How's it going?
Going pretty good. Excited to talk about some guys who definitely will fill a potential need for the Cavs tonight because their roster does not have anybody quite like the two guys we're going to talk about, which is pretty bad because it's one of the most valuable positions in the NBA. So
yeah, this will tell you a lot about where the Cavs are at to some degree. But Trevor, before we get into our two prospects this week, just real quick, you have a draft guide up this week on conference play. For you as someone who evaluates draft talent, does you put more stock in what you see in conference play versus what you see in out of conference play for some of these top guys, or is it just sort of you have to kind of take it all as it comes and view it on the same playing field?
I kind of see it on the same playing field, but you're looking for different things when you watch both types of games. You know, when you're watching a game of a high major top draft prospect against a low major team, you want to see the dominance. You want to see just like with the team as a whole, you want to see that player exploiting the mismatches that he's probably going to have, really performing well, and you want to see that consistency that you like to see from these guys. You want to see that night in, night out, them bringing the same level of play that they would against a top team. One of the guys that we're going to talk about a little bit later, Keldon Johnson, he has a big issue with this. That's one of the things that I've had a problem with him this year, is he's a guy who shows up for the big games, shows up and performs really well. And the Duke game is probably the only guy for Kentucky that actually played hard that night as that blowout happened, and then looks pretty lackadaisical in games against like Winthrop and Monmouth. So that's something that I like to see. The big thing that conference play gives us is it gives us marquee matchups between the two guys, or between multiple prospects. You know, every night you're going to see battles between draft prospects. Even if it's not top guy versus top guy, you're still seeing them the top guys matched up more often against NBA level players. You know, it's going to be more exciting for us now as we get into ACC season, for example. We may not be seeing, you know, that marquee matchup of Zion Williamson against DeAndre Hunter in a Duke Virginia game every night, but you're going to see Zion have to deal with guys who are going to at least be able to match maybe a little bit closer to that talent level, guys like Elijah Thomas at Clemson, who may not be an NBA player, but is probably at least a G League level player. You know, him matching up against some of the guys from Florida State, who, again, probably not NBA players, but have NBA size, NBA length, and NBA athleticism. That's all very important for us as we continue to try to evaluate these guys and how well they're going to be able to translate to the next level.
Let's get into DeAndre Hunter first. He is at Virginia. Trevor, tell me if I'm wrong, but he's someone that is probably, if he ends up being a lottery pick, he's going to be a not top five lottery pick. And right now, this is, so we sort of put context on this. It looks less and less likely that the Cavs are going to have to, unless something just goes crazy, possible, that they're going to probably be picking near the top of the lottery. But what is appealing to you about DeAndre Hunter and what he could fit in with what we sort of envision the Cavs roster being in going forward?
Well, he's a guy that I think is a fail-safe for them. You know, he's somebody who's going to be available in that 6 to 10 range. I had a big board drop on Wednesday at the step back, and I had him ranked, I believe, number, let me just check it to make sure that I've got the right information here for you. I had Hunter just outside of my, or just at the end of my top 10 at number 10. So he's a guy that I think is going to be in play for the Cavs if they're picking 6th, 7th, somewhere in that range because of a late bump or a bad lottery draw. I think that he fits this team very well, though, because he's a guy who is going to fill that need position that they've had for so long, or so much this year, that 3-4 combo type guy that's able to play small forward in some lineups, able to play the four, potentially even able to play the small ball five. You know, he has great size and mobility, great combination there. And I think that his two-way play is going to be something that's going to help him unlock a lot of lineup possibilities, particularly when you think about him being on the Cavaliers. He's a guy who's a really good spot-up shooter, has a little bit of handling ability, which is good, is able to attack the basket, and on defense is one of the most fundamentally sound players in this draft that you'll find. So I think that that combination is really appealing when you try to project him onto this roster. It's not probably a star level player, but he's a guy that fits really nicely next to the Cavs' other front court players, next to Chetty Osman, next to Larry Nance, next to Tristan Thompson, and really helps them fill out the defensive aspect of their front court, which is something that's been lacking a lot this season. You know, he can play the four next to Kevin Love and give you some really good offensive options and potentially even protect the rim next to Love, or he can play down a position, give you some good size to be able to create a backbone for your defense and still be able to offer that spot up shooting, so you're not cramped with spacing when you're trying to play maybe Love at the four and Nance at the five, or Love at the four or Tristan and Nance together potentially, things like that.
Let's say the Cavs, which is, you know, very possible even if they end up being really bad, are pick at like number five. Let's say, you know, obviously the truly maybe transcendent guys in this draft, the Zions, the RJ Barrett, are gone. Depending on what Hunter does, obviously, in the workouts and the rest of the season, and who actually ends up in the draft and how their stocks rise, is there a scenario where if they're like picking at five or maybe a little later than we maybe expect right now, but not at 10, not that deep in the ladder, that he's someone that you would reach for just based on just what he is and what he could actually provide versus some of the other guys in that range, like a Bol Bol or someone like that?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think that the big thing going for the Cavs in in trying to pick at that spot in the draft is they already have their center position and point guard position really well fleshed out, and that area of the draft is looking more and more like it's going to be where some of the top center and point guard prospects are going to be going. You know, at that point when you're picking fifth and you're assuming that the big names are off the board, you're looking more at guys like Jontay Porter, the center from Missouri, or Sima Shitu from Vanderbilt, Darius Garland, who's my top point guard. So those are positions that the Cavs don't really need. They need wings. And, you know, I think that they have some really good options there. And Hunter is one of the top guys of that group. You know, I think that he offers a lot of versatility and would be able to solve some of those clunky roster issues that we see with the Cavs without them having to make a lot of those major moves that we talked about, trying to free up space in the front court. Because, you know, I think that he could allow for some of those more functional fits among the front court players to even be more effective. And I think that that's one of the big draws for him, because he's such a good defender, because he's such a good spot up shooter. I think that that's going to end up being where his role ends up, is kind of that true 3-and-D type, but being able to play a little bit of power forward too. And I think that's going to make him really enticing, especially compared to some of the other guys in that range who are going to be a little bit less optimal in terms of positional fit with the roster.
Last thing on DeAndre Hunter before we move on to our next prospect. What are some of the things about him that you don't particularly? We've been very positive about him so far. What are some things that on paper right now that you are concerned about it for him as an NBA player?
Well, I think one of the things is he's not the quickest guy. He has pretty good athleticism, but it doesn't seem to translate into a lot of great agility and quickness. So he's not a guy that I think is going to be able to be kind of a true stopper in the NBA level in the way that he is in college. You know, he can defend all five positions at the college level pretty competently, being able to slide up to bigs. He's got the strength to be able to do that. He's got the technique on perimeter defense to be able to stick with a lot of college guards. When he gets to the NBA though, you know, it's going to be a little bit of a different game for him, and he might get lost defending in some of the quicker wings and guards if he gets a switch on the perimeter. So that's one thing that really bothers me. And also, I don't really see a huge high upside with him. You know, he doesn't have a lot of on-ball skills. A lot of his ball handling ability is just simple pick and rolls that are already at an advantage situation, making these simple short reads within the flow of Virginia's motion offense. There isn't a whole lot of dynamic play from him. A lot of the most dynamic stuff that you'll see from Hunter is backdoor cuts where he gets an edge on a defender and goes to the rim and he explodes well off 2 feet. But you don't really see that top end athleticism that you would expect from a guy who is as fundamentally sound as he is on defense. You know, when we're trying to project him as a defender, he has the technique of somebody who's going to be an all defensive team player, but that athleticism just really isn't there for me. So that's one thing that kind of bothers me with Hunter, and I think kind of caps his upside, which, you know, if the Cavs are picking fifth, that may not be what you want to hear, but I think he's a particularly safe option in this draft, even if he doesn't have that high level of upside.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back to talk about Keldon Johnson from Kentucky. So stay tuned for more Locked On Cavaliers. And we're back. So Trevor, let's go to Keldon Johnson from Kentucky. Where is he currently on in your rankings, and what is interesting about him as a prospect currently?
So I have him at number 12 currently. I've dropped him a little bit down since my last board when I had him at 7, which is more in the range for the Cavs. But again, he's another player that fits kind of that big wing type that the Cavs really, really need. Somebody who has really good size, looks like he's going to eventually have really good strength at the NBA level once his body fills out, and has enough ball skills that I think he presents a pretty interesting option for them. One of the things that I like most about him is that he is like Hunter, very good at capitalizing off of advantage situations that are presented to him. On offense, that means that he's pretty good attacking, coming around screens. He's really good at getting to the basket, going downhill, and a pretty good transition player as well. Has a developing three-point shot that really hasn't been there too much this year, but looks pretty projectable moving forward. Defensively, that means that he's pretty good at seizing opportunities to make rotations. He does a really good job one-on-one defending off the dribble with pretty good footwork. And I think that he projects to be a guy who's going to be a pretty impactful defender. So I think that that's a pretty good combination for what the Cavs are looking for. Again, he's not as polished as Hunter, but Hunter is a year older than Johnson is, and that definitely factors into that, especially on the defensive end. We would expect Hunter to be a lot better defender than Johnson is at this point. So I think that they have pretty similar skill sets, but I like Johnson's upside a little bit better. I think that he looks like he's going to be a better ball handler, and looks like he can potentially be a more athletic defender, which is going to help him cover up some of the technique gap that exists between the two.
So one of the things in some Googling and some research on him is that there's been a couple stories, and these are like a week old at this point, but that he was being put into the lead option on this year's Kentucky team. Now, this, and correct me if I'm wrong, does not seem like the loaded Kentucky teams we've necessarily seen in the past. So, A, what kind of Kentucky team is he Johnson playing on this year? And number two, is he being put into more of a lead option role that's going to tell us something about what his ceiling might be as a scorer in the NBA?
Yeah, so Kentucky is a little bit of a mess this year. They brought in a pretty high-profile recruiting class that Johnson was at the head of, and featured a lot of guards who are supposed to provide some really good creation for their offense. The expectation was that their offense was going to be a lot better than it is this year, because they were going to have Ashton Hagans and Emmanuel Quickley able to create at the point guard position, Tyler Herro, a really good shooter at shooting guard, and then PJ Washington able to create from the elbow and provide a little bit there as well. That hasn't happened this year, primarily because those guards have been a little bit of a disaster on both ends, but especially on offense. You know, Hagans isn't able to create any separation and doesn't make very good reads. Quickley doesn't seem to really have adjusted to the college game too well yet. You know, he is a guy that I eventually think is going to be an NBA player, but he just doesn't have the decision-making down at the college level and gets sped up really easily. And then Herro has been an absolute disaster in terms of his shooting, in terms of his ability to get himself open, and his ability to handle. All of those have been very much subpar to what expectations were. So that has forced Johnson into a little bit of a secondary creation role. You know, honestly, Kentucky has been a little bit weird in that they've been initiating a lot of their offense from the elbow with PJ Washington and Reed Travis, which has worked for Johnson because that allows him to spot up and make these backdoor cuts that work well for him and able to come off a lot of screens, but it doesn't really open up a ton of spacing for him. So that has been a little bit of an issue. He really looks miscast, primarily because he doesn't have the spacing really needed to be able to take advantage of what his strengths are. And you know, he's disappointed as a ball handler a little bit as well. So those are some things that you have to keep in mind with this Kentucky team. It's also been the case on defense, where his steal and block rates have been almost shockingly low for what he supposedly is as a defender. He should be a guy who is tangling up ball handlers in help defense and getting weak side shot blocking opportunities, and he's just not really getting those chances. And that's kind of a wonder of, is that him and him avoiding making those plays to either avoid contact or not recognizing that he needs to make those rotations, or is that a function of the Kentucky defense? To me, it's been a little bit of both. So on both ends, he's been a little bit disappointing this year in terms of his overall value to Kentucky, but I kind of take that fit into consideration when I project him forward, because it doesn't seem like a good match. And there's some skills that I think that he has that aren't being shown that'll work a little bit better at the NBA level.
As someone that is outside of your top 10 right now, obviously I've been as high as 7 in your board, but where he is right now, and obviously a lot's going to change and things are going to fluctuate a little bit, but is he someone that you think realistically, maybe more so than Hunter, at least on level playing field as Hunter, could be a realistic draft night target for the Cavs?
I think he definitely could. You know, he has the pedigree of coming from Kentucky, and he has the measurements. And I think that there is the potential that he is a guy who's going to really show off in workouts. He's very similar to Kevin Knox last year in the effect that we're seeing him playing at Kentucky having on his game, when we know from his high school tape and we know from what we've seen prior to this that he has a little bit more juice in terms of that self-creation ability, in terms of that athleticism on defense, than what he's shown. And I think that that could be a case where he's going to be a guy who comes into the combine and comes into these private workouts and looks like a completely different player than he did throughout this college season. So I definitely think if that's the case, if he really shows off in those at those points and he really brings a lot of that value that he's kind of hinting at but not really able to show at Kentucky, I think he's definitely in play for the Cavs, because he has the potential to be a very strong two-way wing, maybe not as a primary creator, but as a secondary third option guy who can play off of some of the Cavs' top options. So that could be a very good fit, especially if they're picking again in that kind of 5 to 7 range where all the top guys are gone and they really have to take fit into a little bit more consideration.
Let's wrap it up in one question. Of these two guys, of Johnson and Hunter, which do you think has the potential to be has more elasticity in terms of how high their ceiling is? Is there one guy that you think that, like, if everything truly breaks right for them, more so than the other guy at least, that they could develop into a high-level player that maybe becomes the best young player the Cavs have? Because I think you and I have talked about this at least off air. I think that is going to factor and probably should factor into what the Cavs do come June.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I think that when we're thinking of it in that perspective, whose top end upside is a little bit better, I think it is Johnson, because he has all of the athletic indicators. I think that he is a guy who is not going to have as high a ceiling on defense, but his ceiling is much higher on offense because he has hinted at a little bit better ball handling ability. He has a shot that can be worked into a functional NBA shot. I think that that's his ultimate swing skill, and he's shown a little bit more athletic ability that could translate into better finishing and better attacking the rim at the NBA level, which I think is what the Cavs need. So I think Johnson is the better upside play. I do think Hunter is the better fit for the roster as it stands right now, but I don't know how valuable that is, because this roster could be completely different in June, but it's something that where he fits very well with the Cavs' core pieces. So I would say that Hunter is the better fit to be a impact player in 2019-2020, but I think that Johnson is going to end, or has a good chance of ending up the better player in 2022.
Let's just be honest about it. Colin Sexton and Jetty might not be good. Like, that's a very reasonable, like, I'm more sure of Jetty being good, a little worried about Colin just because of his shot profile, but, like, neither of them, they might both just be fine. And, like, at that point, like, I think the Cavs really do need someone that they can, like, I do feel confident in saying, and, like, Colin, maybe he just blows me away in the next 6 months, and, like, this isn't a conversation, but I do think, and maybe we'll need to get into this in future episodes, but I do think that is something when I'm thinking about the draft, I do think that is something for him and for this Cavs team. I mean, that they really do probably need, like, the leader of their young guy. Like, maybe Zizic and Nance and Colin and Jetty all work out and they're all, like, serviceable. I don't think any of them are the lead all-star caliber top 10-ish player that they need if they want to get back to the heights before and be something more than like a 6 to 8 seed in the East.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the discussion we're having with the two guys today is really based around the idea of two things happening, which is one, they are retaining Kevin Love for the long term, and Love is their primary guy, where if that's the case, at least for the next 2 years, it doesn't matter as much if their young guys are as close to their ceilings as they might get. And two, we're ending up in a situation where maybe it goes something like Bulls, Suns, Hawks in the top three. The Cavs have a late bump, and maybe the Wizards pass them, and suddenly they're picking sixth, and there's no real chance at elite talent that fits the roster on the table. So I think that that's the scenario where these guys start coming into play, and other guys like Kevin Porter Jr. from USC or Romeo Langford from Indiana, that tier of guys starts to be who we're talking about.
You can find Trevor's writing at Fear the Sword. You can find his writing at The Step Back. Find him on Twitter at Illegal Screens. Again, draft guide at Fear the Sword, draft board at The Step Back. Trevor, as always, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You can reach the show at LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook and Twitter at CWMWrites. 5-star ratings on Apple Podcasts are the best way to support the show. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great Friday. This has been Locked On Cavaliers for Friday, January 4th. I am Chris Manning, your host. Talk to you tomorrow.